I want to preach on this subject today, how will you die? Now, this is Memorial Day weekend. We're thinking about those who have gone on before us, those who have paid the price, especially. This started out, if you read your bulletin, got a note in there, got a little article in there about the Memorial Day. It started out by remembering those who had died in the river and the war between the states, and then began to take on the others who had died in wars. They've become to remember all those who had died in the service of our country. And then it progressed beyond that to remember all those who have preceded us in death. Sometimes called Memorial Day, sometimes it's called Decoration Day, or whatever it may be called. It's a day to remember that and think about that. But the truth remains with us as we think about Memorial Day, that people do die. There are men that are dying on the battlefield today. There are people who are preceding us in death today. There are those who are going into eternity today. And so we see that happening all the time. And so we want to remember, and always we should never forget those who have preceded us and those who have gone before us. We do want to remember, but let me say this. We are to remember them, and we are thankful for them. And that is all to be never minimized, but may we always remember that that's not the end of the story. There's more to it than that. And I pray today that as we think about how will we die, that we remember that as Christian folk, and this is just in a little introduction here, as Christian people, we will never die. I'm going to be using the word death. I'm going to use dying and so forth. But I want you to understand, as saved people, we shall never really die. Death is separation from God, and we'll never be separated from God. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord for saved people. And so we must remember that. So Jesus said to Martha there in John chapter 11, verse 25, and I believe 26, and Martha come out to meet him, and they talking about Lazarus being dead. And she had said that she knew that if he'd been there, he would not have died. And Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. And he that liveth and believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? And let me ask you, do you believe that? That you'll never die if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and have been born again. The Bible says you shall never die. And I believe what God said about that. John 5:24 is a great verse of scripture. Verily, 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 verily says, pay attention now. And he talks in that verse about, I can't even quote it right now. I lost it, but I'll get it. Turn to John 5:24 and we'll get it together. Be good to turn to it anyway. We talked about it in my Sunday school class. John 5:24. I want you to hear it. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on me, him that sent me, hath everlasting life. Now get this, hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is, right now, but is passed from death unto life. Amen. If we have passed from death, we are right now, passed from death unto life. I'm in life now. I have passed from death unto life. I was dead in sins and trespasses. I was dying. I was dead spiritually, and I was headed for hell. I was going to be separated from God forever. But thank God Jesus took my place, paid my price, died on Calvary's cross, and took my sin debt, paid in full, and saved me one day, redeemed me by his blood, and gave me everlasting life. I now am alive forevermore. Amen. And I want to say to you today, if you're saved, you're alive forevermore and shall never die. And so keep that in mind when we're talking about how will we die. We're talking about that physical part, this body that will, if Jesus does not come and take us out of here, we may have to go through the way of the grave, but that's not bad either, because it's just good night here and good morning over there. And so that's for saved people, that is. But how will you die? And let me say, first of all, some are going to die unexpected. Now, these folk, we mentioned some today, unless God intervenes and does something miraculously soon, they'll be gone. We expect that to happen. There are those that we see sick, and we see them progressively getting worse, and they pass away and go on. Then we know that. There's some that die unexpectedly or suddenly, and they are gone. But let me say this. Death is sure outside of the rapture of the church. Death is sure. It is going to happen. You say, preacher, I don't know. Well, it will happen as sure as you said, or you said, there'll be people die today. Hey, these people die every day. And Hebrews 9:27 said, it is appointed unto man once to die. And after this, a judgment, and you can mark it down, that there will be a death. 1 Samuel chapter 20, verse 3, David is fleeing from Saul. He said, there is but a step between me and death. And did you know today there's but a step between every person in this house and death? That heartbeat you have right now, if God doesn't see fit to give you the next one, you'll drop over dead. That air you breathe right now, if God doesn't see fit to give you breath, you'll quit breathing and you'll be gone. So death is sure, it's going to come. And you can mark it down that it is. Romans 5:12 says, wherefore by one man sin entered the world, and death by sin, for that all have sinned. And we realize that Adam sinned, that he was all born and came in the world like that with a sin nature. But you are sinner by choice as well as by birth. And we all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Ain't nobody any better than anybody else. We're all under the death penalty. And penalty for sin is death. Death wouldn't have come in the first place if sin had not entered the world. But sin did enter. Man did sin. And so death was pronounced. And that parting will come. For the child of God, the stinger has been pulled out of death. And I'm glad, praise God, a honeybee stings you and leaves a stinger in you. He'll never sting anybody else again. He can't sting you again because his stinger is gone. I'm glad for the child of God. Jesus took a sting out of death for us, and the stinger's gone. We may have passed through the valley of the shadow, but we'll never have to be stung by death. I say amen for that. But how will you die? Some die unexpectedly. There are those that I've known in my life that have suddenly died unexpectedly. We're sitting here in this house today, and before we get back tonight, there may be one in this midst that has gone out into eternity. You say, preacher, that won't happen today. We got these plans made. You don't know that it won't happen before you get down on Furnace Road. Amen. I remember preaching years ago up in Urban, Tennessee, just out of Urban, Tennessee. I was in a revival meeting, and then one night people getting saved, things happening. It was a good service, but one man stood there under conviction and shook and trembled and held to the back of the pew and would not move, would not come. And I don't remember whether it was the next day or the next day, he drove a dump truck over the side of a mountain and went out in eternity. And I don't know that he ever got saved. If he did, nobody ever knew anything about it. He got saved after that service, but most likely not. Most likely went out. He wasn't expecting to go out. He was just a young man. He thought probably he had plenty of time. He thought, well, I'll just wait. I'll just put it off. The devil's biggest tool that he has to use against people getting saved is procrastination. I'll get saved next Sunday. I'll get saved next week. I'll get saved next month. I'll get saved when I get a little older. I've had people tell me, I'm going to sow my wild oats now. I'll get saved later. You don't know that you have a later. You don't know. You don't know what you're missing by not getting saved now. You don't know. Amen. And so we need to get saved now, right now, the day of salvation, because you don't know when you're going to leave out of here. And I see Brother Chris sitting down here, can't help but think about his sister Tanya. And if you will pardon me for doing so, mentioning Tanya, his sister, and she was a senior in high school and was my friend, precious, and on that drunk going down a four-lane highway, wrong side, and you don't know when you're going to meet a drunk out here going down the wrong side of the highway. And ran over them, and a sad time. And I won't go into all that detail about that night, but I will tell you this. It was a horrible night for me and for them and for all that knew her, because suddenly she was taken out. She'd given testimony in church before that, and whether in life or death, that she might glorify him. Hey, I'm glad, praise God, that she did. And she left a great testimony behind her for the glory of God. Don't understand why, but just a senior in high school. And suddenly, without warning whatsoever, she was taken out. Just like that. And so I'm telling you, some's going to leave out unexpectedly. And I pastored up in Rural Retreat a young man. He got saved, and boy, he was into sin, and but God saved him, wonderfully saved him, and got in church, and he served God and was faithful. I'd left Rural Retreat, gone to pastor down in North Carolina, and I was in Maryland preaching revival meeting, got a call. And they said that he got killed at work. He was working, and all of a sudden, working with a metal lathe, all of a sudden a piece of metal came off that lathe and hit him in the head. And immediately he was gone, out into eternity. You say, preacher, could that happen? You don't know what's going to happen to you. You don't know when something's going to happen to you and you'll go out into eternity. That's just not known. I pastored a young lady in Tennessee that, I won't go into her detail either, but one day she came in, just a young lady, laid down across the bed and died, just died. And she wasn't hit by car. She wasn't hit by a piece of metal. She didn't in any way accident. She just laid down and died. And you don't know when you're going to die. Amen. It's appointed unto man wants to die. We don't know that. And they some that believe that they're going to be in the rapture and that they'll never die. Now, and let me say this about that statement. I believe I'll see Jesus come. Amen. And you say, preacher, you believe you won't die? I'm not saying I won't die. I'm saying I believe I'll see Jesus come. But I may have to go through the grave. I do not know. I believe if we really believe what we say we believe, we're looking for Jesus to come today. In fact is, if we really believe what we say we believe, we're looking for him to come right now. That's what the Bible says. He can come any moment, any time. So if we really believe the coming of Jesus is at any time and may come right now, then we'd have to say that we believe we'll be in the rapture. But at the same time, we do not know that for a fact, because God did not tell us in his word that for a fact. But we do know for a fact we're going to leave this world and go in eternity and meet God one way or the other. We're either going to be raptured out and save people, or else we're going to have to be taken out and go through the grave. Whichever way it is, it doesn't make it, we're going to heaven, hallelujah for that. But some's going to leave out of here unexpected. Now let me say this, there are some people that live like they're going to live forever anyway, and they act like they're never going to die, and live their life like, well, I'm living my life. I won't have a good time. I'm going to do this. I want to do that. And it doesn't make any difference about church. It doesn't make any difference about God. It doesn't make any difference about that preacher, what he says, or that what that Bible says. I'm just going to live my life. I want you to know it does make a difference how you live your, what you do with your life, because you're going to meet God. One day, it's appointed unto man wants to die. And after this, you will meet God. Everybody in this house is going to meet God someday. And this life is temporary. The Bible says life is like a vapor that appears for a little time. In James 4:17, somewhere down through that. Life is like a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. And whereas you ought to say that if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. And because we don't know that we're going to live. You may say, well, I'll be in church tonight. You may be and you may not be. You may be in eternity tonight. I'm planning on being here tonight, but I don't know that for a fact. I may be in eternity before tonight comes. What I'm saying to you is it's real, folk, and we sat in the house of God this morning. God has given us an opportunity and a privilege to be here, but we do not know when we're going to leave out of here. These men in Iraq, these men in Afghanistan, that they are in danger of being shot, or a bomb going off, or some way going out. But let me say to you, that we're just as far as been knowing when we're going to die, we don't know. They don't know any more about that than we know about ourselves, because they don't know they will. We don't know that we won't or will either. And so wherever you are, God has life in his hands. And God controls life or death, amen. There's some people sitting in his house, and I see Brother Frank Deal sitting back there, and he was telling me one day something that happened to him during the war. And he don't say much about that, but I want you to know that he's there by the grace of God. Amen. He's here because God saw fit to let him live and saw fit to keep him safe and bring him home. I say hallelujah. But that was God's business. God did that. Amen. And I'm sure Brother Frank can tell you that he had nothing to do with it. It was God that watched over and cared. I say today, thank God for who God watched over. God let some die. God let some go on. And God has life in his hands, and he controls it. We have some that's dear to our hearts today that may go out of here today, but we don't know. We don't know, but God knows about all that. What I'm trying to say is some's going to die unexpectedly. And I pray today that you, if you die unexpectedly, you'll die saved. That you'll die knowing Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior. I pray today that you, when it comes time to leave out of here, that you can say, I know I'm saved. And leave behind a testimony that I know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Amen. Let that suffice for right now. Some's going to die unexpectedly. But let me say this. Some's going to die undecided. They're going to be undecided. You remember in Luke chapter 17, verse 32, says, remember Lot's wife. That's a short verse, but it's got a lot of meaning to it. Remember Lot's wife. And so let's remember Lot's wife. Back in Genesis chapter 19, and she was being led out of Sodom and Gomorrah. Lot, his wife, and two daughters. God was getting them out of Sodom, but he said, don't look back. Just come with me and don't look back. But she looked back and she turned to a pillar of salt. You know what her problem was? She was getting out physically, but her heart was still back there in Sodom. She still loved the society of Sodom. She still loved the sin of Sodom. She still loved the things of Sodom. And so she turned back and looked back. That's how a lot of folk are. They're trying to live in two worlds at the same time. You can't live for God and the devil at the same time. The Bible said no man can serve two masters. He either love one, hate the other. He'll cling to one, despise the other. You can't serve God and man at the same time. You're going to love one or the other. You're going to go one way or the other. And so which way are you going to go today? With God or against God? And you'll make a choice. And so remember Lot's wife. She was undecided. She couldn't make up her mind. I remember a story in the Old Testament, 1 Kings chapter 18. You remember about Elijah going up on the mount with the prophets of Baal? And he went up there, called all the people together. Ahab been looking for him, trying to kill him. He couldn't kill him because God wasn't one time for Elijah to go. And Elijah met Ahab out there. And Ahab said to Elijah, you're the one troubles Israel. Elijah prayed and shut heaven up. And Elijah said, I'm not the one, you're the one. And said, I challenge you now to let's meet on Mount Carmel. You bring your prophets of Baal, and I'll meet you up there, and let's find out who God is. And here's what he said to the people. He said, and choose ye this day whom you're going to serve. And he said, if God be God, serve him. If Baal be God, follow him. But he said, you make up your mind. And that's how people need to do. They need to make up their mind. Choose you. Now, that's not quoting the Bible per se, but that's what it meant, make up your mind. If Baal, they were serving Baal. They was making altars to Baal. They was worshiping Baal. He said, if he's God, then follow him. And said, if God of heaven's God, then follow him. Y'all to do away with Baal, one or the other. You can't have both. And so you remember the story, they built their altars. And said, prophets of Baal, 450, y'all go ahead first, I'll wait. And they built their altar, and he said, now we're going to build an altar, and we're going to pray to our God, and whoever rains fire down, let him be God. People liked that. They said, that we'll do that. And so prophets of Baal made their altar, and they sacrificed, and they cried to Baal. And I see Elijah over there. He's kind of mocking them. And said, won't you cry aloud? Maybe he's going to want to walk. And said, maybe he's asleep, and you need to wake him up. And they wasn't getting, and I get that picture in my mind, I can't help but laugh. And Elijah standing over there saying, go ahead, call on your, he knew Baal wasn't God. He knew he wasn't going to get no fire. Got ready to make his, and he said, bring me some water. and they poured water on it. Seven barrels of water poured on that water. That water had a trench dug around it everywhere, and he just bowed his head, prayed a few words, and fire from heaven fell, burned it all up, licked up the water. I say hallelujah. If God be God, then let's serve God. If God be God, let's live for God. If God be God, let's let the world know he's God. Amen. And believe what this Bible says and serve God. And so some people going to die undecided. And Elijah put them on the spot and said, now you decide. You decide what you're going to do here about this. And we need to decide what we're going to do about it. Remember what Joshua said in Joshua chapter 24, verse 15? He said, choose ye this day whom you're going to serve, whether the gods of the fathers on the other side of the flood or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. I say amen. He made a choice, said me, my house, we're all going to serve the Lord. We need to make a choice who we're going to serve. How are you going to die? Unexpected? Undecided about what you're going to do about it? You're trying to make up your mind about it? Is the world the way to go, or is God the way to go? You need to make up your mind. Choose this day whom you're going to serve. But let me say this. There's going to be some die unprepared. This is a sad part. But some's going to die unprepared. I want you to look with me in Luke's Gospel chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. Verse number 10, verse 16. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I'll pull down my barns and build greater. There will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I'll say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God. Now, there's a lot of folk today who need to realize this. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? He said, you go ahead and tear down your barns and build greater, but your soul's going to be required of you. You're going to die, and then what's that going to amount to then? What are you going to have then if you die without Christ, die without the Lord? You remember Belshazzar over there in Daniel chapter 5, Belshazzar, he was king in Babylon, and it looked like it, and a city that they thought was impregnable. They thought nobody could get to them. They thought, man, this is safe. And it looked in every way to be safe. But that night, the Medes turned the river, and they come in under the through the dry riverbank, came in. They was partying, and they was having a big party. And Belshazzar saw a hand right on the wall and saw nothing but the hand, and that hand wrote something he couldn't read it. And they had to send for Daniel to come and read. Hey, Daniel wasn't at the drinking party. Daniel wasn't with that crowd. He was separated. They had to send to get him. He come and said, read that on the wall for me. He said, your weight in the balances and are found wanting. And God's going to take the kingdom from you and give it to the meek. And he did that night. And Belshazzar died. Hey, Belshazzar got so scared his knees knocked one against the other. He got tore up and that hand wrote on the wall. I'm telling you today, people need to wake up. God's writing on the wall. God's saying, hey, you better get ready. I'm writing on the wall. And you're waiting to balance it and found wanting. Only way to have it balanced out is to have Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior and know him personally and let him save you and birth you in the family of God. And then you can be saved and be ready when that time comes. What a blessed thing it is to be able to pillow your head, close your eyes, and know that beyond a shadow of a doubt, if you go before the morning sun come up, you're going to meet God and be saved, safe, and secure in heaven. Amen? But if you close your eyes and die without God, you're going to hell. That's not a pleasant thought, but it's real. You say, preacher, you ought not preach about hell. Why not? The Bible tells us more about hell than it does heaven. People go to hell that does not believe in Jesus Christ. You say, well, preacher, what about if I got a head knowledge about him? But you ever give your heart to him? You ever let him come in your life? You ever let him save you, birth you in the family of God? I mean, really born you, birth you. You ever let him do that? If you're not, you're not saved. But you need to get born in the family of God. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Father, thank you for the word of God. And thank you, Lord, for the truths that we've tried to share this morning. Lord, we're thinking about those and this weekend that have died and gone on before us. But Lord, help us remember that we too will have to meet God one day. And Lord, as we think about this and consider it and give it our thought, our hearts, and God thinking about dying unexpectedly, some undecided, Lord, some unprepared, I pray you'd help all of us to examine ourselves. Let the Holy Spirit look at us like we ought to see ourselves. And Father, I pray make it real to us, to every heart, every life. These people in the house that's lost, without God, unprepared, if they have to die right now, they'd go to hell. I pray, oh Lord, that you'd help them. I pray conviction be real. Draw them that they may come to know Jesus Christ today. Then, Lord, there are those here today that's saved, but they know their lives not what it ought to be for God. They know if they had to die, they'd be ashamed to meet you. They'd be, Lord, not what they ought to be for the glory of God. And I pray the Holy Spirit make it real. Father, touch hearts and lives today. Then, Father, I pray help all of us today to do what we ought to do. In this invitation, in Jesus' name, amen.